You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
And now we go to Diabetes on You. We welcome Dr. Danu and his guests. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Tosca. How are you doing this afternoon?
I almost said good morning, but I'm good. I'm good.
Well, five minutes again and you'll be able to say it.
All right, cool.
But good afternoon to all of our listeners, of course. And I want to say Ramadan Mubarak to our Muslim listeners and Muslim community in Trinidad and Tobago. And today focuses especially on Ramadan and fasting. But I also recognize that this time is also very auspicious for many other religions and groups. I know it's around the Chinese New Year as well. I know it's, of course, yesterday was the first day of Lent. And then we also had the Shivratri celebrations as well. So many religious groups in Trinidad and Tobago all celebrating, all marking an occasion at this time. And many of the times that these occasions are marked, fasting is often accompanied. The type of fasting we're going to be talking about specifically today is about fasting during Ramadan. So I have a very special guest who is with us. She's no stranger to the program, and I'm going to introduce her shortly. But I just want to let our listeners know, as I usually like to do at the start of the program, about the things that are going on in the Diabetes Association and where you can get support. So we are having, of course, our initiatives running right now. The first of which is our National Diabetes Primary School Quiz. And this quiz is open for Standard 3 children. We have lots of prizes for both the children and the schools. So we have just a few more weeks. Again, deadline is Wednesday, 11th of March to enter. So we just have a couple more weeks for the children to enter the quiz. The quiz is online. You can go to diabetes-tt.org to be able to enter the quiz. It's for Standard 3 children. We have lots of prizes like laptops and tablets and cash for the school. And you have prizes for all of the entrants. So I'm encouraging anyone who knows a Standard 3 child to enter the National Diabetes Primary School Quiz. This is the fifth year we're running the quiz. So we're hoping very much to see more participants this year. We also have a fundraiser for our children with diabetes. This is our Curry Q. And this is going to be on the 14th of March. It's going to be at our office. It's $50 for a box. And it goes in aid of the purchase of CGMs, continuous glucose monitors, for our children. So we're hoping to get more of them because we have a few hundred children who are in need of the CGMs and they cost about $10,000 to $12,000 every year. So we want to make sure that our children do get the CGMs. Just reminding our listeners about on diabetic eye screening program. Tomorrow we are in Sangre Grande at the Sangre Grande Civic Center in Sukram Trace, Foster Road, Sangre Grande. And if you are in that area, give us a call to make that appointment. I believe we still do have a few spots left. Give us a call again, 607-3288, and you can get an appointment there in Sangre Grande. We'll also be in Barataria on the 27th of February. Barataria on the 27th, that's in the Office of the Member of Parliament for Barataria Sawa. That's on the corner of Salamat Street and El Socorro Main Road. And that's next week, Friday, as well. So if you are in any of those areas and you need to get your eyes screened for free, it's the dilated eye exam, check the back of the eyes, then please make your appointment. Other than that, we have all of the other activities that we continue to run on the association. And of course, if you need any assistance at the association, you can reach out to us at diabetes-tt.org, go to the social media pages, like Facebook, like Instagram, or of course you could give us a call, 607-3288. So I want to get into the program, and at the top of the program I would have mentioned, and I want to focus specifically on diabetes and Ramadan, diabetes and fasting and Ramadan. The first day of Ramadan, and of course we often talk about fasting simply because it requires a change to your diet during this month. And often when people are living with diabetes, food is such a major part of their diabetes care because, of course, we don't want their blood sugars to go too low or too high. So fasting and considerations to fast is very important. So I have with me Ms. Safia Islam, and she is the registered dietitian, the board dietitian of the Diabetes Association. And, of course, If you could tell from the name, she's also a practicing Muslim. So she has double experience to give us today to talk about nutrition, talk about fasting, and also talk about Islam. I also have a clip that I want to play from Professor Mohammed Hassian, who is actually the head of the Diabetes and Ramadan working group in the International Diabetes Federation. And there's actually a new mobile application that has been developed for doctors, for nutritionists, even for patients to be able to use to decide if in fact they should or should not fast, because we don't want to put them at risk. So I'm going to play a little clip about that, and I'm going to tell you about the app that anybody could download. It's free of charge, of course. You could download it and you could be able to decide for yourself using scientific information whether or not it's safe for you to fast or not. But let's welcome Sophia. Sophia, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Danu. It's a pleasure to be here today.
And again, as I said before, you are a nutritionist. You're our board dietitian. And I'm very happy to have you here. But I want to start. I want to start by asking you the first thing, which is, what is fasting during the month of Ramadan looks like? And why is fasting observed during the month of Ramadan? Tell us about that, for those who may not be aware.
So Ramadan in Islam, Ramadan is one of the pillars of Islam. Ramadan fasting is observed as a spiritual act, an act of worship, self-reflection, self-discipline, spiritual reflection, and also for some sort of empathy for the less fortunate. So it is one of the five pillars of Islam, which means it was commanded by Almighty Allah. And as he had mentioned in the Quran, verse 185, chapter 2, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may gain God consciousness. So that is the spiritual essence behind it. And while fasting during this month, we may like ground ourselves and have some sort of discipline as we are staying abstaining from food, drinks, and intimacy from dawn until sunset, which is a pretty 8 to 9 hours during the day. And this month spans around month of Ramadan is the Islamic month in the Islamic calendar, and it is a full month, which is like 29 to 30 days.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, today would have been the first day of fasting.
Yeah, first day.
And I want to just talk in general about what does this look like? What does a day of fasting look for someone who is practicing Islam? So let's start with the first meal, the suhoor, the meal in the morning.
Pre-dawn meal or suhoor.
Right. I wanted to tell me about that, but what I wanted to tell me about is, what does this meal look like for somebody living with diabetes? What should it look like for someone living with diabetes?
So suhoor is very important, first of all, for everyone, and especially for those living with diabetes, because we want the rulers to maintain a stable blood sugar levels during these long hours of fasting, right? So someone with diabetes, the meal should include a high fiber or a complex carbohydrate, mm-hmm. a lean protein, healthy fats, lots of vegetables, and hydration. So let me give you an example of how this should look. So the high fiber option or complex carbohydrate would be your options like your rolled oats, your whole wheat bread, whole grain, brown rice, right? Which is mostly from our staple or starch group, right? And we need energy throughout the day. The main purpose of suhoor is so that, you know, we could have energy throughout the day. We don't want to have no dip in energy, fatigue, headaches, right? Now, fiber helps to maintain or stabilize blood sugar levels as well as keep you fuller for longer. Protein as well needed for growth and repair of muscles, right? It also helps you keep full. It also helps slow the absorption of blood sugars into the bloodstream. And we should have lean proteins now. So we're looking at chicken, fish, turkey, so things like eggs, your Greek yogurt, your beans, your legumes, peas and beans. Right, those are good options rather than the red meats, which, as we know, is higher in saturated fats. So the leaner meats are lower in saturated fats. We should have like our avocado for healthy fats in moderation, and we should have lots of vegetables. And for our diabetics, we have moderate fruits, because fruits as well could add to sugars. But yes, we need vitamins, we need fiber, it contains fiber and minerals. But for diabetics, we need to watch the portion, because fruits as well have natural sugars, right? So this is how we should, you know, plan suhoor.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, it is very important, and making sure we have a balance. We have some sort of staple, some sort of protein, and some sort of vegetable will help prevent sugar spikes during the day. It will keep us energized and also help us to keep longer, fuller for longer.
So thanks for that. But my follow-up question would be, is this different from someone who is non-diabetic? So someone whose blood sugar isn't typically elevated, someone who isn't living mm-hmm. with diabetes, what are the main differences? Or is it that you're making any recommendations for suhoor for persons with and without diabetes like this? Or is it a specific difference that people with diabetes should have? And I'm asking this simply because
mm-hmm.
when you're preparing these meals, often you prepare it for the family.
Yeah.
Is it that everybody should have?
I think that it should be similar. It should be similar. You just watch the portions, you watch the cooking methods you're using.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you use more fiber. So you try to include more fiber, as fiber helps to manage or stabilize blood sugar levels.
Because mm-hmm. the aim is you don't want to drop too low.
Yeah, too low could be an issue, and then too high as well can be an issue.
Mm-hmm. So when you do maintain the fast, how long is the typical fast? How long during the day? How many hours is it typically?
8 to 9 hours.
And then, of course, you break the fast. So I'm going to talk about breaking the fast now. And how
right,
how
so iftar.
Right. And how should the fast be broken? Because oftentimes, I know I've been to many iftar
mm-hmm.
functions, I would say, because, of course, you know, many persons get invited even to these activities, these events in the evening. And you see this large amount of food, and everybody just
eats,
and everybody will bring it at the time of celebration. So let's talk about that. What is the proper way?
Right.
And I'm focusing on people living with diabetes, but you could then make the distinction.
Traditional way, persons would usually break their fast with dates and water. Right now, for persons living with diabetes, they have to watch the portion. In terms of the dates, you're not doing too much, right? So one small date or one date and water, right? Then you pause briefly. You give yourself about 10 to 15 minutes. And similar to suhoor, this is the same way they should have iftar. They should combine the meals with a lean protein, right? So yes, traditionally, especially for iftar, we see persons overconsume meals. So we want to have a portion check. We want to make sure we observe portion control, right? Portion is very important, and moderation is a key. So we want to balance the meals by having some sort of lean protein again, right? So which is your chicken, your fish, your legume. Then you have your vegetables. And as I said, vegetables is high in fiber, and fiber is important for managing the blood sugar levels. We want to have a moderate amount of carbohydrates as well. And we know carbohydrates give us our energy. So we want to have like brown rice, or even if your person's having roti, I would say maybe the dal puri would be a better option than basap shat. So sometimes at masjids, if they would have like, you know, rotis or whatever, they could probably take into consideration the dal puri, as it have legumes that have dal, right? And as you know, protein sort of slow the absorption, right, of sugars in the blood rather than having the basap shat. Or you could have your brown rice, your whole grains, quinoa as well, right? So you're having some sort of complex carbohydrate as well.
So tell me this, Sophia. So all of these, this is well and good. I mean, having quinoa and having brown rice. But if I'm going to an iftar and often, because I often know that tradition and is that sometimes a different family might prepare different nights.
Yeah.
So as a person living with diabetes, you go to this function and then you see all of these things, because I know in Trinidad, everybody wants to outdo each other, right? So they want to mm-hmm. add stuff, they want to make more, you know, better cake and better whatever. What are some tips you could actually give someone living with diabetes encountering this scenario? So like you have this big buffet of food in front of you, and
right.
you don't want to get the blood sugars raised too much, because we don't want the blood sugars mm-hmm. to be raised all night. What are the tips that you could give somebody who isn't presented with the healthy options in front of them? What can they do to actually make sure that their blood sugars don't go up too high?
Right. So they need to look at the menu and choose selective choosing. So they need to choose from the menu the wise options, mm-hmm. or increase the amount of fiber. So like add more vegetables to the plate. So if you're seeing that, you know, it have the options not so healthy, right? I would preferably choose more vegetables rather than more carbohydrates or protein.
Yeah, so, but I mean, telling someone choose more, choose less, that might be very relative. And I'm saying this simply because if it is that you haven't eaten for the whole day and you're very, very hungry, then you might want to load up that plate with food.
Yeah.
For seconds, right? So what's your advice about that? How much should they actually
consume? Right. So a quarter of the plate should be from the carbohydrates, right? So we have a quarter of complex carbohydrates. So you have your quarter roti or your brown rice, right? Then you have a quarter of protein. So you have like a slice of fish or two pieces of chicken. And then a half of your plate should be your raw and your cooked veg. So for example, you have your cooked veg, which is like your bhaji, and then you have your raw veg or your fresh salad. And this is how this portion here, how portion this is going to help the sugars from spiking, the glucose from spiking or raising too high.
Mm-hmm. And what about going back for seconds? If it is that, say for example, I went to Suhoor and I had my meal, should I then, because remember it's fasting for 8 to 10 hours, right?
So yeah.
Eating for the other 12 hours, I need to eat consistently.
I won't really recommend. That is like overeating, but I know, yeah, overeating after prolonged fasting, that may happen. Mm-hmm. Persons need to know a limit. And if they are doing that, right, they should wait probably 2 to 3 hours, check the blood sugar levels, and then resume, mm-hmm. if they so wish. Or they could probably eat slowly to prevent, you know, post-meal glucose spikes. So eating slowly as well kind of helps, you know, satiety, like keeping you fuller. Mm-hmm. So probably they could try, I would suggest they try that.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, excellent strategies, because of course we want to minimize those glucose spikes during the night.
Yeah, especially after iftar. Mm-hmm. I have seen patients where, you know, they call and they say, well, you know, the sugar level's really high. And, you know, mm-hmm. when they assess what they ate and how they ate it out of proportion and these kind of stuff, then they realize what really happened. So I advise as well that after iftar, persons check their blood sugar levels, or after 2 hours after breaking the fast and having something to eat, check back the blood sugar levels to see if it's within range, if it's either too high or too low, especially, as I say, persons living with diabetes.
Definitely. And so I want to continue this conversation, and I want to talk some more about some of those strategies, because mm-hmm. oftentimes when you see the breaking of the fast, sometimes you see samosas and you see, again, you see the dates and you see, is it that as soon as it's time to break the fast, you should have that meal one time? Or is it that you consume something and you
wait? Yeah, you consume.
And why is that? Why is it that you should just have that big meal one time right after you need to break the fast? You're breaking the fast, rather.
I don't think it is recommended, right? The proper and according to the sunnah, what we call it, mm-hmm. you have something small to break the fast, and then you wait a little while, right? During this time, we have a prayer called the Maghrib prayer, or prayer at sunset time, right? And after that prayer is usually when we have the bigger meal, which is like the dinner, you know, after breaking a fast. So, and I think that pause is very important as well, because as we know, we need to give our body time. When we eat, remember the food is broken down into sugars. And from there now, when the food is broken down into sugars, the pancreas secretes insulin, the insulin have to take the sugar now into cells that needed it. Mm-hmm. So I think it is very important to have that gap between, and especially that your body was in this state of fasting for the entire day. for 8 to 9 hours. So, you know, you should have that. The pause is important after breaking your fast and then going on to your dinner.
Yeah, and also because, I mean, just because you're in that fasted state, you need to kind of
prepare
your body for food.
Yeah.
Taking in all of that food at once could make you feel upset, could make you throw up. That's definitely something that's possible. But of course, yes, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. But should we break the fast with a samosa? Should we break the fast with
a high fat? No, I will not recommend that. I would probably recommend something like watermelon or some sort of fruit. Mm-hmm. And water, especially for diabetics. Water. Not you should avoid too much sugary or sweetened beverages.
Mm-hmm. So that's important to know. So I want us to again, I want to take a break in a short bit. But before we take the break, I want to just delve into the topic at hand, which is diabetes. But before we go into diabetes specifically, I wanted to tell us about, are there provisions for persons if it is that persons have certain conditions or have certain ailments, does that exclude them from fasting in Islam? So, for example, being pregnant or having
diabetes. So,
let's know about that.
Right. So, persons who should seriously consider not fasting, Islam provides some exemption because we do not want to cause harm. So, for like example, from a health perspective, the individuals who I would strongly consider not will not be able to fast would include people who diabetes are poorly controlled, right? So they have either spikes or during the day, they're just poorly controlled, right? Those with frequent hypoglycemia, meaning that it's going lower than 80 milligrams. Pregnant women, because that is a high risk as well, right? It's pregnant women with diabetes. People with acute illnesses. So like, for example, people with a history of severe diabetic ketoacidosis and, as I say, hypoglycemia. Mm-hmm. These kind of persons would be exempted from fasting because it could cause more harm than good. Mm-hmm. So yes, I they might want to fast, but it have a compensation in Islam for persons like this, which is like feeding the poor for a certain amount of time during the month of Ramadan. So they could gain their blessings otherwise.
So there are provisions.
Yeah, there are provisions for that.
So I want to specifically then talk about diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And I want us, before we do talk about diabetes,
what should someone do probably before Ramadan if they are diabetic?
Right. So I want us to understand these considerations. And again, but different people living with diabetes, we could say people living with diabetes are arranged simply because they are well-controlled people. There are some people who, as you just mentioned, would be having low blood sugars, maybe some side effects.
So,
maybe having some complications of diabetes. So all of these things need to be considered. So here's where the International Diabetes Federation would have put all these new guidelines. So
it's important as well, Andrew, that a few weeks before Ramadan, persons should check their doctor to review the glucose levels, consult with the doctor if they have to adjust any medication. Remember, some persons might be on insulin as well, right? And so things like that to assess their risk level definitely. Before they undertake
the
fast.
And that's what we want to explore. So we're going to be talking soon. I just want us to take that short break. And when we come back from we're going to discuss that. And we are going to talk about the new guidelines from the International Diabetes Association that would have just come out this month from the Diabetes and Ramadan Working Group. We're going to be chatting about that, and we're going to listen to the head of the working group, Dr. Hassan, and he is going to tell us about the reasons why they developed this. And again, they put it into a mobile application anybody could use. Your doctor could use it, your nutritionist could use it, you could use it as well. So Tosca is there. Tosca, let's take that break. When we come back, let's listen to Dr. Hassan, and we're also going to take your calls and your questions.
Power up your Saturdays with Gary V's electrifying energy on Speak Your Mind Saturdays. Here, you're not just tuning in. You're transforming the show into a vibrant tapestry of opinions, laughter, and spirited debates. Get set for a day packed with the fun, the burning issues, and Gary V's infectious personality. Join the fun. Fuel the conversation. Speak Your Mind. Saturdays with Gary V on Freedom 106.5 FM. Every weekday morning, Tasca Martinez brings you the stories that matter to you. On The Human Impact, tackling the issues of the day, exploring health and wellness that hits home, diving into powerful features, bold opinions, and a book club that keeps you thinking. It's thoughtful, it's fearless, and it's yours. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Speak your mind, Trinidad and Tobago, and let's make it count. The Human Impact, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Tune in to Benjamins with host Space. Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Space tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Base, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune into Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Base Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you. Only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
And now we return to Diabetes and You.
And thanks, Tasca. And again, we are chatting with Sophia Islam, and we're talking specifically about diabetes and Ramadan, diabetes and fasting. So before the break, we would have chatted a bit about why fasting is important, and of course, how should someone with diabetes prepare for the fast in the morning by having pre-fast meal, and then of course how the fast should be broken. So at the end of it, we would have been chatting about the new guidelines that would have come out from the Diabetes and Ramadan working group from the International Diabetes Federation. And I have a clip from Dr. Professor Mohammed Hassin, who is the head of this Diabetes and Ramadan working group. And they would have been doing research across Asia, across the Middle East, and they would have developed these guidelines which incorporate all of the things we would have spoken about, so that people with diabetes can be able to actually decide and with evidence decide if in fact it is safe for them to fast or not. So let's hear from Professor Hassan, and then we're going to go back to your calls and your questions. But let's hear from him.
This is really quite an important point, and it's very much to take us to the 2021 guidelines as well. In that guidelines, there was a major innovation, which is the fasting risk calculator. In the past, we used to have tables of a group would be in the very high risk, or in the high risk, or in the moderate risk, or the low risk. But they were not comprehensive. So I'll give you an example. So maybe you would say a person with type 2 diabetes who is on insulin but very well controlled, then maybe that would fall into a moderate risk. But then perhaps that person as well is doing a hard intensive physical job, or has a bit of a kidney problem, or comes from a background where the access to monitoring is suboptimal. So you see a number of other factors when you add it on can change the level from maybe being moderate to high or very high. Or the opposite. I might be a type 1 person with diabetes, but I'm lucky enough to be on a nice automated pump with continuous glucose monitoring, and I have fantastic access to healthcare professionals. So on face value, it might say a person with type 1 diabetes might be a bit of a high risk, but that person has fantastic options. So the risk calculator looked into this, and we published that in 2021. It included 14 categories with multiple items. And in the latest guidelines, We took stock from the validation studies of this risk calculator, which were 15 different studies across the globe, as well as many new studies that gave us solid information to do some fine-tuning to the risk calculator. So nowadays, you could be in Miami on your app, and I'm in the same time in Dubai on my app, same app, we calculate the risk of the individual. It's very much of artificial intelligence or precision medicine, because you look into in-depth, what's my kidney function, what's my type of diabetes, how long I had my problem for, what is my age, what is my social circumstances, do I have a cardiac problem or kidney problem or neuropathy or not, what type of therapy are on, how am I monitoring, so many aspects, including my frailty, my cognitive function, my home circumstances, maybe I live on my own, and there isn't anybody to tell me, Mohammed, you don't look right. Maybe you're in a hypo. So all of these aspects, with a click of a button, either on your electronic medical records, if you have one, or on your app of the phone, or indeed, just print it and have it on your desk. And with every individual you see in your clinic on a daily basis, you can go through it. And people with diabetes love it because they feel we go through a comprehensive approach, and then it comes with you're a high risk, you're a low risk, or you're a moderate risk. High is clear, low is clear, moderate is 50-50. You have a choice of either to fast or not to fast. And the beauty with this risk calculator, it also has the religious approval from the highest religious authority in Egypt. So if you, for example, are the doctor and I'm the Muslim patient and I challenge you to say to you, well, what do you know about my religion? Then you can simply say these recommendations are made by clinicians and experts in the field, as well as approval by religious authorities. So it certainly empowers both the healthcare professional as well as the person with diabetes feeling the solidity of the information from both aspects, the science and the religion. And then many people take the decision with a great deal of acceptability.
So that's from Professor Hassan. And again, he would have developed together with other researchers from around the world, working both in Islam and, of course, in endocrinology, in medicine, because he's an endocrinologist and he's a very prominent physician in the Middle East and in Dubai. He, of course, would have developed this app. And again, we are trying to get physicians and nutritionists and other professionals and even people living with diabetes to use the app, because now you could be able to judge for yourself whether or not you are at risk. And you should, again, if it's a low risk, you could fast. If it's a medium risk, then it's a 50-50, meaning that you fast with caution. And then if it's a high risk, then of course you should not fast, because of course it means that your blood sugars or it may go too low or too high and would cause you danger. So I want to continue the conversation, but of course I want to, before I let you all know about the app, I want to open up the phone line. So Tosca, if you could share those numbers with our listeners and let me know if any phone calls are coming in or if any text messages are coming in.
All right, and the numbers are 625-2257, 627-3223, and of course, 306-1065.
Thanks for that. And of course, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you if you are fasting, what considerations you are making, and if you have decided to fast or not fast, then why? So while we are waiting, I just want to let you know about the app. So the app is called the DAR Academy, D-A-R Academy. DAR stands for Diabetes and Ramadan. So if you go onto the app stores, or if you look it up on Google, the DAR Academy, you can be able to download the app. And when you download the app, you can be able to go in and do the risk calculation, the risk score for yourself. And it asks you about 13 questions, 15 questions actually. You can answer them if you don't know all of the answers. You don't need to, you could skip some of the questions if you don't know the answers. And once you answer, then it's going to give you a calculation, again, using artificial intelligence, using the research that was done from dozens of studies to tell you, in fact, if you should fast or not. So it's important to do this, and as Sophia said before, you actually decide to fast, and of course we have the first day of fasting already, but this should be done, of course, in consultation with your doctor, but you could do it for yourself. So, Sophia, back to you. I know I would have sent it to you, and before you all would have given these general guidelines about, you know, if it is somebody has hypos or hospitalized, then you know you tell them that they shouldn't. But this app now is able to scientifically see, and with evidence, because as you had professor said, that it's backed by the highest religious authorities as well as all of the endocrinologists. So I've been sharing it in Trinidad with lots of religious leaders, Islamic religious leaders in Trinidad. I've been sharing with prominent endocrinologists, and everyone who I've shared it with has so far said that it's pretty good and endorse it. So we're looking forward to have people endorse it more and work with it. But let me hear your opinion on something like this, having an application where people could be able to, you think this would be useful for nutrition?
Yes, I think it would be useful. You know, it just make things a bit easier. Persons will be able to track, they will be able to know if they are at risk, continue fasting, or, you know, what to do next. Yeah. So I think it definitely would be a useful tool.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to call out some of the factors that are considered in the app, and what are some of the considerations that could be made to decide what if to fast or not. So one of the first questions that's asked is about pregnancy, and any type of diabetes during pregnancy, and that's important. If it is you've had a pregnancy, and of course you've had diabetes during a pregnancy. And it then asks about the types of diabetes, whether it is that you're type 1 or you're type 2, meaning that you're insulin dependent or not. It also asks about the duration of diabetes. How long have you had diabetes? Because, of course, that is going to influence your diabetes control.
Yeah.
That also influence the risk of diabetes complications. You are then asked about the type of diabetes treatment that you're on. And that's also important because, especially for people on insulin, those extra considerations need to be taken while fasted because, and here's where a doctor is really going to come in.
Yeah, the dosages must be monitored.
Exactly. So we need to change those dosages, and even some of the oral hypoglycemics, especially metformin, for example, even some of the ones that affect the kidneys, like the SGLT2 inhibitors.
Yeah.
Those you need to really adjust. So
definitely,
medication is very important. Presence of hypoglycemia is another thing. And hypoglycemia, if you could explain to our listeners, what is hypoglycemia quickly?
Right. So hypoglycemia is extremely low blood glucose level, is below, some persons say 70, but I would say it's below 80 milligrams per deciliter. Mm-hmm. And this is risky because in the case that this happen and it is unchecked, persons can go into a coma, right, or lost state of consciousness. Now, if this happens, or you know that your sugar is low, I would recommend that you immediately break the fast and have something sweet, like a soft drink or some sort of jelly bean, something sweet to eat, right? And here's where the 15-15 rule will come in, will apply. You wait 15 minutes and then you check back your blood sugar levels and see if it is improving, if it is going up to, like, you know, a normal state.
By 15 points.
Yeah, after 15 minutes. So you check.
By 15 points, right?
By 15 milligrams. And you just keep on monitoring to make sure that, but usually this sometimes it may come with some signs and symptoms, or sometimes it might not. So that is why it is important to check the sugar level sometimes or monitor it during the day. So if you feel dizzy,
The question is, if it is that you're fasting and you're feeling these low symptoms, these low blood sugar symptoms coming on, and I just want to check my blood sugar, does that mean that I broke my fast if I check my blood
sugar? No. Checking blood sugars does not break the fast. Yeah, it is permitted and normal.
And if it is, say, for example, my blood sugars are very low when I check, what should I do next?
Right, so if it is very, I would recommend that you break the fast.
Mm-hmm. So breaking the fast means that should you have like what you would have recommended for the iftar, or is it just something like quick acting?
Something sort of quick acting, because you don't want that levels to drop very low, mm-hmm, to go into a state of unconsciousness and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then after, when it normalizes, well, you go back to having your regular, your portions and yeah.
So a question for you, and maybe you could answer it from your experience in Islam. But if, say, for example, it's midday and someone's blood sugar is low and then they have to break their fast, does that mean the entire day of fasting has been invalidated? Meaning they have to, it doesn't count because they have broken.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be not valid as we break the fast for that day. So they could probably, as I say, pay the, we call it like something like a fidya, mm-hmm, where you feed the poor person or some sort of, you give the poor person money, feed a poor family. So it have like these rules where you could compensate, for mm-hmm not being able or being sickly while fasting.
So I'm saying this because it may make more sense if it is that you are, again, using the app and you can decide that you're at risk, or you have your physician just tell you if you're at risk, then if you are at high risk, then you shouldn't fast at all, simply because if you know your blood sugars are going to go very, very low and it's very dangerous and it invalidates the day anyway, then maybe it is, again, here's where the physician's advice is so important. As in, you prepare before. So we often we advise persons that, make sure you're really know if in fact you're going to embark on this fast. Now, other questions that the app asks would be a level of HbA1c. And mm-hmm, they have three different categories here. They have above 9, they have 7.5 to 9, and they have under 7.5. Now, we know for people with diabetes, over 6.5% is what's diagnosed as diabetic, right?
Yeah.
But often, we have different ranges of HbA1c, and we know that when the HbA1c is above 9, we know there's a lot of complications accompanied here. So if your HbA1c is above 9, then that means you really are at high risk for many of the short and long-term complications of diabetes. So I know this factors in quite a lot here in the calculation when you actually do it. Mm-hmm.
That might indicate like the person have an uncontrolled blood sugar level history, right, over 9 here.
Exactly. And then, of course, glucose monitoring. And different people monitor in different ways. Some people don't monitor at all. Some people monitor periodically with finger sticks. And then, of course, some people have CGMs. And if you have a CGM, a continuous glucose monitor, and of course, CGMs or wearing a CGM doesn't break the fast as well. So we could wear the CGM, if people wear the CGM, then they could be able to get a warning if it is the blood sugar is going too low, and then they could, again, decide to break their fast. But wearing a CGM, of course, is going to lower your risk. And if people wear CGMs, then, of course, there's a better chance of them being in the lower risk group.
Yeah.
Hypoglycemic emergencies. So this is when somebody has DKA, diabetic ketoacidosis. So I wanted to tell us a little bit about what is DKA and why is it so dangerous for people with diabetes. So high ketone, diabetic ketoacidosis.
Just one second. You hear me?
Yes, I am. Yeah. So just
right. It's like DKA is like a high blood sugar is like metabolic acidosis. So ketones is like where ketones form in the body,
mm-hmm,
right? And it is similar to going like hypo. Mm-hmm. So it's similar. It could cause you as well to go into a coma. Mm-hmm.
And it's very important, simply because again, ketones are going to build up when your body burns fat. And often,
yeah,
when you're fasting during the day, the first thing that's going to burn off when you consume your meal, because when you eat your meal, the sugar in your meal is converted into glycogen. And that glycogen is stored in the liver. And you use that right after you eat a meal. But once you're fasting, that glycogen burns off after a couple hours. And then your body's going to turn to fat. Your body's going to start burning fat. And fat is what's going to be used for energy on the
energy, yeah.
Now, a byproduct of fat metabolism is producing ketones. And ketones, very importantly, is a way that the body creates, it's a byproduct of burning the fat. But what's also important is your brain actually runs on ketones as well. So your brain could run on glucose, but it could also run on ketones. So ketones isn't necessarily a bad thing. However, ketones are quite acidic. And when in diabetes, the creation of ketones goes unchecked and you make a lot of ketones. And this accumulates in your blood and you get, of course, diabetic ketoacidosis, means acid building up in your blood, ketones building up in your blood. And this is what's very, very dangerous. So oftentimes, that if people have history of DKA, high ketones building up in the blood within the last 6 months or last month or so, we want to tell them not to fast, simply because they will have a very high chance of diabetic ketoacidosis, which could put them in the hospital very, very quick. It's very important. It's very important to manage that. And to know that you're burning ketones, and often people who fast or people who haven't eaten for a while, you'll actually smell the ketones. The ketones come to your breath. So you smell a sickeningly sweet smell. That's how it's described to us, a fruity sweet smell coming from your breath. And that's actually the smell of ketones. And just a fact, a fun fact to know is that there are actually some dogs that are trained to smell ketones. So they are these diabetic assistance dogs. And they are trained to smell ketones from your breath. So before you smell it or somebody else smell it, you may have someone on insulin and you may have this dog. And the dog actually smells the ketones coming from the breath and could actually nudge the person to say, okay. And the person knows what the nudge is from the dog, knowing that their blood sugar is about to go low. So we actually have the dogs who are helping as well with that. But again, ketones and looking at diabetic ketoacidosis is another consideration. Other considerations that are made are microvascular complications. So for example, damage to the eyes, damage to the finger, like loss of like numbness.
Numbness, tingling in the hands and feet.
Right. Yeah, that's an indication of damage as well, indication of poor diabetes control. Nephropathy, which is kidney damage. Mm-hmm. And if it is that you do a renal function test, you do something called a GFR, glomerular filtration rate test, you could be able to see what your kidney function is. Of course, you need to get this from your doctor. So once you could get this value from your doctor, the doctor has it, they could punch in this value on the app. And if they don't have it, then of course, they can leave it out. And then they ask you about specific complications, like of the foot, of the eyes, or so on. And then they also ask you about frailty, and that's important. So how frail the person is. So if it is the person can be able to do normal everyday tasks, if the person cannot do everyday tasks and they need assistance, if the person is at home and they're over 70, for example, and they can't move around. So all of these are considerations because, again, that determines if, in fact, somebody should fast or not. Another question is about physical labor. So if someone is doing very high intensity physical labor and they're living with diabetes, then they have a higher chance, of course, of the blood sugars going very low. So here's another complexity that's added to the equation. So it's not just about if somebody is working in a physical labor job or an office job. It also has to include all of the other factors we talked about. And this is what the app does, because it is able to calculate using evidence your risk. And of course, they even ask about fasting-focused education. So has the person been educated about fasting and what should happen? And all of the things we would have just spoken about, testing and how to break the fast and how to check your blood sugar and how to decide if you stop the fast. And then, of course, fasting hours as well. That's important because, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sophia, and you need to tell me, because the fast is governed by sunset and sunrise, right?
Yeah.
So that means different people in different parts of the world.
Yeah, different time zones would have a longer or shorter fasting period.
Mm. And I mean, maybe Trinidad is a little bit fortunate because we're close to the equator. So you have like a 12 hours. But if somebody is closer along to the poles and you have a very long day, it might be up to 16.
14, 15, yeah, 16 hours sometimes.
Exactly. So that's something to consider as well. So all of these are considerations that the app makes. So I want to remind our listeners, if you know someone who is about to fast or is fasting and living with diabetes, then you could tell them, look for the DAR app, D-A-R, Diabetes and Ramadan app. Or you could reach out to the Diabetes Association. We could assist you. And again, you could ask your doctor about it as well. Ask your doctor, ask your endocrinologist, ask your nutritionist, ask your nurse, and we'll be able to direct them to where to get it and how to enter the information. So you could decide if you're at high risk, if you're at low risk, or if you are able to fast. So we just have a few minutes left. Sophia, it's been a really enlightening conversation. And I think I want to ask you if you have any closing words to share with the listeners, and of course those who are embarking on the fast during this month. And at the end of the month, we need to talk about Eid, because Eid is that big celebration. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about that before you actually leave us. Let's talk about Eid and eating during the time of during Eid.
Right. So Eid would commemorate. We celebrate Eid at the end of Ramadan, right? And similarly to how we prepare the suhoor and iftar, how diabetics eat during the month of Ramadan, is the same way they should manage the same concept for meal prep with Eid as well, right? So we want to keep in portions. We want to, we manage any transition from fasting. We still want to just, you know, we carry out the same concept. We want to control the sugars. We want to control the fatty foods, what we eat, the sweets, right? So mindful eating, yes. Enjoy is a tradition, you know, enjoy the tradition of Eid, but manage your portion sizes, portion control again to prevent blood sugar spikes. We want to ensure that we have in our high fiber, lean protein, our, load up on your vegetables. Right, so we want to have our balanced meal. Hydration as well is important. Just watch out with too much of the sugary drinks, right? We want to stick to water. Mm-hmm. If you're having any sugary drinks, just in moderation, but make sure and check your sugar levels throughout the day, right? And monitor your glucose, plan ahead. So your plan, you want to do your meal prep, you want to plan ahead. And that is something important for diabetics, meal planning. Planning your meals ahead. Right, so that, you know, in the event, you know what you're going to have for the day. So you keep like a journal, you track, you do like a food journal, and you keep a little, you know, track of your blood sugar levels, your spikes, you keep your food journal as well, and you plan. So meal planning and preparation is always important. Taking care of yourself, your medication regime, all of that, diet, medication, and of course, well, after you break the fast, resume to your physical activity as usual. During the month of Ramadan, it's a bit difficult to do that because we fast in for the entire day, and then after fast, after iftar, we have a prayer in the night called Tarawih prayer. Is another sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and most Muslims that have many blessings, and it is a great prayer. So most Muslims try to get this during the month of Ramadan, as this comes only once for the year during the month of Ramadan. So my closing message here is, yes, Ramadan is a time of spiritual reflection, but for the Muslim community, we should remember that your health is an amana or trust, right? And it is a gift from Allah. So fasting with diabetes can be safe, and it must be done with proper, as I say, proper meal planning, proper care. You monitor your sugar levels, stick to your medication regime or your insulin dosage, right, as prescribed by the doctor, and just prepare ahead, right? So, yeah, that is just my closing message. And for everybody to have a safe Ramadan, and Ramadan Mubarak to the Islamic community. I will be back for Eid, hopefully, inshallah, in more tips.
We're going to be talking some more specifically about Eid and celebrating then.
Yeah.
Sophia, thank you so much for
you're welcome, Doctor.
So thank you so much again for taking your time to join us today. And we will definitely be continuing these conversations. Just want to remind the listeners, if you need the association, you need our support, reach out to us at 607-3288. Or you can visit us at our Shogona's head office. Send us a message on any of our social media networks, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube. Just search for the Diabetes Association of Trinidad and Tobago. So with that, I'm going to end today's program, and we have another exciting program next week for you again. Tosca, hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much for facilitating, and have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.